Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring!
Hello! Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring. My name is Reese, and with me is Jesse Harley, whose throat is still sounds like a chainsaw being dragged across some gravel.
That's really descriptive. I was going to say, like, what's he going to come up with? But, like, there it is, yeah.
There we go.
It's my sexy chainsaw voice.
Jesse's sexy throat.
Drinking coffee, which is probably not good for it, but fuck it, I don't care.
Remember that? Remember you won Mr. Throat 2028?
Oh, that was a good time.
2028.
In the future. It's a good time.
Remember the future.
Yeah. Vividly.
Vividly.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Busy as always. You're like the busiest person I know.
I have two businesses.
Businesses and three kids and a dog. And like, and yet you also, like, it's so weird. You love life more than anyone I know. And most people who are workaholics that I've met think that they just need to work more in order to enjoy life more. And it's actually the opposite. Like, they're digging themselves into a hole. You have managed to create this world if I work harder, I will enjoy life more, and somehow you magically made it a thing. That's not how it works normally. Like,
yeah, I think unless I achieve something in work that I feel good about by the end of the week, I worry that I'm a failure. So I apply myself to it and then achieve something, and then it fuels my enthusiasm for everything else.
See, I'm the same way. I feel very big about achievement.
Yeah.
I grew up from a young age having...
Me too. Sorry.
Never mind.
Jesse, have you ever heard of the Shawinigan handshake?
The Shawinigan?
Shawinigan.
Shawinigan.
Shawinigan. Is that a place in Quebec? Shawinigan.
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 I've never heard of the Shawinigan handshake.
And the Shawinigan is not a euphemism.
I'm glad we're getting back into more comical, more like lighthearted sort of stuff. Yeah. Because like this, the show has evolved
it got dark.
Teaching Jesse, who doesn't care about politics, to teaching Jesse, who is angry about Canadian politics.
How to be more angry.
How to be more angry, yeah.
So the Shawinigan handshake is not anything to do with sex.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where my mind went instantly. If you hear the word Shawinigan, I mean, you just go to some dark, sexy places real quick.
So, is it Gene?
What's on the menu for tonight, baby? Shawinigan.
Do you remember?
Ooh. Oh, I'll get the forks.
Do you remember the? I'm going to massacre his name. The Prime Minister.
We all love this.
John Sheraton.
I don't. Okay.
John Sheraton. I'm sure he's like, I mean, he was.
I mean, I grew up learning French, but my pronunciation of French names and words are probably only moderately better than recent. I've made a decision that I'm not ever going to try to pronounce or correct Reese's French because we have enough audience members writing to us, correcting him for him.
So this is, I'm asking Google how to pronounce. He's a pretty prominent prominent. Jean Trédien, according to Google, might be wrong, who knows. So he was a very popular Liberal Party leader who was unchallenged for three consecutive federal elections from 1993 to 2003.
Hold on, he was what?
A very popular Prime Minister. Liberal Prime Minister for the majority of the 90s.
Our country's prime minister in the 90s?
Then again,
I was a teenager, so I didn't really care.
Jean Chrétien. I just pressed that again to remind me.
Oh, my God. Are you saying Jean Chrétien?
Jean Chrétien. Oh, my God, man. There we go. So you do know him. You do know him. I don't know.
Yeah, Jean Chrétien.
Jean Chrétien, yeah, you know him.
Chrétien.
The Chrétien. The Canadian Bill Clinton.
You were saying... Oh my God, man, that's so fucking funny. You were mispronouncing it so poorly that I'm like, how can I? I should have known who our prime minister was in the 90s.
It's so much easier. In the UK, you just go Tony Blair. It's very easy to say.
But I was like, no, it was fucking Jean Chrétien.
Jean Chrétien.
Chrétien.
Chrétien. That's all.
There's lots of funny stories about Jean Chrétien.
Well, this is a good one. And you haven't heard the Shawinigan handshake.
No.
This is
what were you calling him again?
Jean Sheraton.
There it is. Yeah,
there you go. I'm going to keep calling him that. Prime Minister Sheraton. I'm just going to call him Jean. So, in 1985, there was the Quebec...
That wasn't a joke, by the way.
I've read his name many times. I just never heard anyone say it out loud.
Okay. Yeah, I'm also probably not pronouncing
I've
it
only been here
really
three, I've, only,
properly,
I've only been here 3 years. Everything is new to me.
God, that's funny. I thought it was going to be like some prime minister from like the 1800s or 19.
No.
It was like the 90s.
Yeah.
I should have known who's like, I did know.
I was just saying it very badly.
Oh, my
sorry,
God. Really
sorry,
funny.
Jean Chrétien.
Good job. That was good.
Chrétien.
Yeah.
Perfect. There we go. So 1985, Quebec had a referendum to be an independent sovereign nation, which they lost by a very small percentage. So
it was close.
The turnout was 93.52% and the no option was carried. They lost by like 54,000 votes or something ridiculous.
It was like
half a percent.
It was a big story.
Yeah. But what that meant was... that a separatist were very angry.
I shouldn't say his name is John. It's not John. It's Jean.
Jean. So Jean. Yeah. So on November the 5th, 1995, a Quebec separatist called André Dallaire broke into the Prime Minister's residence at 24 Sussex Drive, and he was armed with a large...
Hold on a second. 24 Sussex Drive, is that like...
It's like the White House? Yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
We did a whole thing.
No, but I just thought that was where he lived.
No, that was that,
I thought,
that's
like
where
you,
the Prime
I
Minister...
thought you found out the address. Like, okay, so
I wouldn't give away somebody's... If I worked out where a prominent politician lived, I wouldn't give their address.
I thought it was a little, you know, out there to do, but I was like, wow.
Well, do you know what happened? Like, somebody dumped a load of boxes at the end of my driveway this morning for garbage collection, and their name and address was on everything. On these boxes. It was one person. It was their name and address. And I had three options. I could either just dump it at their house.
Yeah.
I could shame them on the residence group with their name and address. which is what some people do. Or I could have called the municipality and got them to fine them for dumping the garbage at somebody's house, even though I had clear evidence.
Dumped garbage.
Yeah, yeah, it's somebody else's property with their address on. So I went for a fourth option. Where I found them because I had their name and address, so I worked out.
How did you get? Oh, because a bunch of their mail was in the garbage?
Yeah, there was just parcel boxes with their name and address.
This is a neighbor of yours dumped a truck full of garbage in your lawn or driveway
at the end of my driveway. Yeah,
just dumped a bunch of garbage,
delivery boxes. So,
why did they do this?
I have no idea.
In your specific driveway, yeah.
I pulled up all the information I could find on the internet because I had their full name and address. And I found them on Facebook and I messaged them saying, hey, just so you know,
it's shit like this that I live for our show. Okay. So these asides that have nothing to do with politics that just like.
So I was like, these boxes that you left at the end,
you found them.
That somehow ended up at the end of our driveway.
So did you like call them? Did you email
them? I messaged them through Facebook and I said, I found all of this information about you because you left them on these boxes. I found you through Facebook. Aren't you worried about identity theft? Because I'm your neighbor. Don't you want to come and pick these up and dispose of your address and all this information? Because if it was me, I wouldn't want my information and all my details just left on somebody's curbside. And then I left for work.
That was today?
That was this morning, yeah.
So you don't have an update?
They read the message and they didn't reply. So I haven't been back yet to see what happened to the boxes.
There's going to be a part two.
I like my fourth option of terrifying them with the potential of identity theft.
Even terrifying them, you did it in such a nice neighborly manner. That's just who you are.
I didn't go, why did you dump your shit here? I went, aren't you concerned about this? I found out all this information about you because you left these boxes outside my house. So
you should have sent them photos of them.
Like, my neighbors love me.
Honestly, like if you knew who they, I would have taken it a step further, right? Like
I could read their name and address on this podcast, but I'm not a dick.
Well, no. So. Okay. That's a bit, that's, let's call that.
If it happens again,
plan C. And I was going to say plan B was take your DSLR, take your camera, right?
Yeah.
And then secretly take photos of them like sunbathing in the backyard or like through their window, their bathroom window.
I'm not going to do that.
And
that's
then like,
illegal.
And then send, hold on, wait. And then Facebook them all innocent, like, and as a good neighbor talking about identity theft, right? And like, yeah, look at what I found online of you when I Googled your name, like these photos of you. Like, don't say you took them. Just say that. You found them.
Or you could sign them up for
a bunch of dark web.
You could sign them up for a bunch of brochures and things for stuff they don't want.
Oh, that's
easy. So they end up, every time they go to the mailbox, load of junk mail just falls out.
And then they just dump it in your driveway again.
Exactly. And it just ends up in my driveway again. So, so anyway, enough about my problems.
I want to hear, when we record again, I want to hear part two of this. Like,
yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. So anyway.
It's going to be boring.
Back to Canadian politics.
I guess.
A Quebec separatist tried to murder the Prime Minister.
Boring.
With a hunting knife. And he was arrested before he could injure anyone. But he was very tense because someone tried to kill him with a knife. I would be tense if someone tried. I was tense because someone dumped boxes outside my house.
So when was this? Someone tried to kill
this
John
was
Crutchin.
In 1995 after Quebec lost the referendum.
So who was trying to be murdered? With a hunting knife?
He wasn't trying to be murdered. He was trying not to be murdered like everybody else.
So who was, that's right. Yeah, I
missed. John Cheriton. Chitton. John. tried to murder him.
Try it again.
John.
Chrétien.
Yeah. So then what happened was he was going to Quebec then to commemorate the first National Flag Day of Canada. And as he addressed an assembled crowd, anti-poverty activists heckled the Prime Minister over his proposed changes to Canada's unemployment insurance program as he made his way to the limousine. And there was an anti-poverty protester called Bill Clement.
And that's a great name.
Prime Minister Jean was confronted by the protester. And Jean grabbed the protester by the back of the neck and chin, forced them to the ground, and broke one of the protester's teeth in the process.
Oh, yeah. No, he's had multiple violent incidences with people getting in his face. And it's like, it's well documented.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
kind of amazing. So he choked a reporter.
Well, and then
straight on video, too. Someone else was like, it was amazing.
I've got a picture of it. Look at that.
Oh, that is the photo of him choking.
It was a protester.
A protester. Maybe
so,
not
so,
a reporter,
so then another protester tried to block the prime minister's passage to the limo, and with a megaphone, the prime minister knocked him over, and then the RCMP jumped on. And Jean later defended his actions by saying, "Some people came my way, and I had to go. So if you're in my way." That's what he's. I mean, to be honest, someone tried to murder him with a knife, and then people mob him.
But he's a badass, man. Look at his response.
I know, he was just
he didn't have this huge fucking like if that happened in the States, man. Oh my God, we'd be talking about it every fucking year.
It didn't affect his popularity at all.
No, of course. If anything, it probably made it more popular.
Yeah, it's like when Trudeau said, "Have you got a hospital to bother?" It's like that, but way more kick-ass.
So, like in the States, they're like decades ago, their president gets a blowjob under a desk, and it's all anyone can fucking talk about for years. In Canada, a guy comes at our prime minister with a knife, and our prime minister chokes a bitch out and gets in his limo and drives off, and that's it. We're done.
And everyone goes, "Oh, Canadian politics is so boring." So the protester
Were you waiting a long time to use that?
So Clannett can't even remember. It happened so fast, he said. But it broke the crown in his tooth during the scuffle. And Clannett, a couple of months later, the RCMP showed up at the door with a check for $560 to cover the dental fee.
Hold on, what?
So it broke his tooth because the prime minister wiped him out. And then the RCMP showed up at his door a few months later, offering to pay for the $560 dental fee to repair his tooth.
That's was he suing the prime minister?
No, he wasn't. That's how much it cost him, and they were like, "Hey, we'll pay for it."
Because that's what you do in Canada, man.
Yeah, if I'm gonna break your tooth, I'll pay for it 6 months later.
Yeah, if you're gonna, yeah,
it's called justice.
If you're coming at someone with a knife and they break your tooth, you're not going to sue them for breaking your tooth while you were trying to stab them.
So then Clannett, the protester, took the money and bought an ad in a newspaper with it criticizing the Liberal government.
Okay, that was a nice twist.
It was, yeah. I like that. So, yeah. But now it's become...
This is a great story.
It's become really famous, though, as well. So the Shawinigan microbrewery, Trois de Diable, has...
What?
Has released an award-winning beer named the Shawinigan Handshake, with Prime Minister Jean strangling a cherry on the label.
Oh, that's the handshake. Okay. Yeah. Where's the name Shawinigan come from?
That's where he's from.
The guy who tried to attack him with a hunting
knife. No, that's where...
Was the guy who got strangled and had his tooth punched out, was that the guy with the hunting knife?
No, that was a separate person.
That's a totally separate person.
Totally separate person. He was just a protester. It's just that the knife guy set a bad precedent for... Put Jean on edge.
Okay, so... Yeah, yeah.
Now it's time for a break where you'll be regaled with wonderful products like snortable mustard, hair mousse suppositories, all of the wonderful innovations brought to you by capitalism, a superior system to communism. And since the incident, many celebrities and politicians have been jokingly held by Jean in the famous chokehold when visiting him.
What?
So it's a thing he does. There's a photo opportunity where he pretends to strangle you, and
you
take a photo.
You're fucking kidding me.
Nope. I've got a picture of former Prime Minister Jean demonstrating his handshake on Liberal MP Justin Trudeau in 2010.
No fucking way. Oh my God.
Trudeau's loving it.
Oh my God. Trudeau's loving it. He's laughing it up. But like,
strangle me more, Jean. Strangle me, Jean.
I can't see Jean's face, so I don't know if it's actually him or not, but that's hilarious.
So when Bill Clannett, the protester,
Jean goes traveling the world giving speeches, and at the end, if you want to come and talk to me after the show, it's $10. I'll sign something. I'll choke you.
Yeah, yeah. It's like when you go to the Magic Kingdom in Florida, and there's the sword in the stone that you can't lift out, and everyone poses with it.
Right.
It's the Canadian politics version of that enchanted sword in the stone.
Photo taken of Jean Chrétien choking you out.
Get choked by a former prime minister.
I mean, I would do that. Yeah, I would throw money.
roll up. Only $10. Get choked by Jean Chrétien.
Oh my God, come on. Tell me you wouldn't. There's no fucking way.
There's 6'2" paper mache prime minister, and you like insert your head upwards in there. So the protester, Bill Klenner, who is the victim of his handshake.
Please.
So when he saw that, when he realized that the choke move was being used as a photo opportunity by the former
Prime
Minister.
How did he break his tooth?
Pushed him to the ground.
Oh,
I think it was from the impact.
Okay.
So it was a hard impact to knock a tooth free.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And he describes the former Prime Minister as a buffoon because he doesn't think it's very nice that he was pushed to the ground and now it's a joke.
I think that's a more than fair
I think it's
reaction.
Yeah. I was a victim of some random violence when I was just protesting with no consequence. And now it's a photo opportunity that everybody loves, including the current Prime Minister. So it's like, imagine, say, there was like a charity fundraiser and you got to meet him and you shake hands. You go, oh, thanks for coming down, former Prime Minister Jean Chantin, for doing this. And yeah, it's been really cool. Yeah, oh, thanks. We've raised over $200 for dogs that were born with no neck. And and this has been wonderful. And then he's like, you want to do it, don't you? Yeah, go on. We'll do the photo.
Keep going, and then what?
And then he does the photo, and then you sanitize your neck, and he sanitizes his hands, and then same thing next year. Yeah, that'd be great. Maybe we can reach $300 and
for dogs with no
for
necks.
Dogs born with no necks. I don't know. Sorry if you've got a dog with no neck.
It's actually like I think it's just they're just called pugs.
Yeah. It's technically what a pug is.
Yeah,
a dog with no neck or depth to their face. Yeah.
This got weird real quick. Okay.
A dog that has run into a window very fast and like a cartoon stuck.
The Schwinnigan handshake. Schwinnigan. There wasn't anybody else in the office, or we could have them take a photo of us doing the Schwinnigan handshake to each other and post it online.
It wouldn't be the same, though, without Jean Tenon. Say his name again.
Jean Chrétien.
Jean Chrétien.
There you go.
Jean Chrétien.
Not Sean.
Jean Chrétien.
Yen.
Yen.
Chrétien.
Chrétien.
There you go.
Chrétien. I'm thinking of crutch and then the currency yen. That's how I'll remember it.
Sure.
Jean Chrétien.
Not quite.
There we go.
But a lot better than how it started.
I think visually,
I've
got to visualize it. Jean, pair of jeans, crutch. The currency yen. Jeans, crutch, yen. There we go. So easy to remember.
You should teach classes on pronunciation.
Yeah, English classes. Imagine if I teach 30 people over 6 months full time to learn English. And then they release them into the world.
Oh my God.
Imagine if I taught them French.
I'm trying to picture it.
30 people who would get beaten up on the streets. We do have some really nice messages from people, Canadian French speakers, who do find my, rather than be offended by my terrible pronunciation, they find it deeply entertaining. I'm glad, because I don't do it to offend. I'm just genuinely shit at pronouncing non...
And we have a challenge for any French speakers out there who...
Non-English languages.
Who dislike... who get genuinely offended, which is nobody so far, who get genuinely offended at Reese's pronunciation of Canadian French words give you a challenge.
Just French words in France, too.
Oh, I suppose. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
To come on, email us, and we'll give you some Welsh words to pronounce.
Yeah.
And if you can do that correctly without the use of Google, we will invite
give
you on
you
our show and give you
$7 in change. Right now, I got it. There you go.
He's getting it out of his pocket.
$7 really in change.
He does too. Look at that.
It is pretty much $7.
Actually, it looks like, yeah. There you go.
Here we go. So anyway, I'm going to go back and I got to go home and see if the boxes have gone. Do you think that was creepy what I did, or do you think that was good?
I don't think it was creepy enough.
That could have been more creepy.
I think it really.
I think your
could have
your
been...
plan was way creepier.
Oh yeah,
like just to say, hey,
you took the photos.
I
found these photos.
Identity theft is real. I destroy all addresses on anything I receive. I know people like have their identity stolen all the time, and people open like.
You got to be really good at stealing identities. It can't just be as simple as finding out what someone's address is. Like public, like people's address is public knowledge. Like that's
but. If you can go online and find a picture of them and all this other stuff, it's very easy to find out a huge amount of information about people.
Yeah.
If you're not being careful.
I suppose, yeah.
My social media, personal social media, is all private. I don't want that to be publicly available.
That's fair. You've got kids, though. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that makes sense. I get that. But your yeah. your company social media.
And my kids want to be famous YouTubers, and I won't let them.
That's very smart. I am thoroughly
unless they've got a real plan where they can make lots of money, I can retire. Then no. So far, all the plans have been rubbish.
Minecraft videos, Dad.
Exactly.
Just, I mean, like,
what I'll do is I'll play Minecraft for 3 hours and talk while I play Minecraft for 3 hours.
Honestly, being like, done. The whole being social media famous and social media rich thing is. The problem is that people are doing it.
Yeah.
But it's akin to winning the lottery.
It is.
Right? It's like, what do you want to do when you grow up, Timmy? I want to be a professional lottery player. I'm like, okay, well, statistically, that is a possibility. Like, I can't say that's impossible, but it's so unlikely. Yeah. And like you just see these, all you see all day long are lottery winners surrounding, you're surrounded by lottery winners. Like, it must be possible. It must be, you know, this is trying to become a famous TikToker or famous Instagrammer.
I remember I wanted to be a mad scientist. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a mad scientist and I wanted to have a Leia in a volcano.
It's not too late, Reese.
I know.
I can help you with this dream.
It's like, imagine that. What a cool job that would be. And then, I moved on to just wanted to be like a policeman or something. I don't know.
I'd be failed at that job too.
Yeah, I'd be a shit policeman.
You really would.
I'd be very corrupt.
You'd let every no. I think you just let everybody go. You're too nice.
I'd just be like,
"Hi, do you know why I stopped you today? I don't know what.
Well, you were driving 250 kilometers per hour in a school zone.
It was pretty impressive, though.
You didn't lose control." You weaved your way through the kids seamlessly. So I'm going to lay you off this time because you clearly know what you're doing, but just don't let me see you do it again. Or if you are going to do it, make sure there's no one like me there.
This is my route and this is my schedule. Just try to avoid me during this time in this area, okay? Wink.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's not great.
You won't accept money, but you will accept boxes.
I think being a policeman's a tough job because you got to, like, a lot of the time you're helping people, but also you're making people have a shit day if you're giving them a speeding fine. You know you're going to ruin their day.
Yeah. You know, you get up first thing in the morning, you know, you polish your policeman's uniform, you sit down and you do your racist affirmations, you know, and your visualizations of how to be a jerk during the day. And then,
and
you know.
But do you know what happened to me? I had my car towed and I realized I'd misread the sign. So it was my fault. I misread the sign.
Okay.
My car got towed. So I went up to the compound to get my car. And the people there were like braced for confrontation with everyone who came in. And I kind of went in. I was like, hi. And
that's just you, though.
And then I just started chatting. And I went, oh. I was like, you're out the way up, yeah? And then just talking to them about like, oh, that's a nice dog. Like, is the Rottweiler barking and everything? And I just started chatting to them. And they were like, oh.
Like the killer dog, and
they were like, oh, you know, thanks for not shouting at us. I was like, well, I misread the sign. It was my fault. And I think they're so used to people going up there and going, why the fuck did you draw my car? And I can't do that. I don't have that ability to go up and...
No, I don't either.
I'd rather leave that place, go in, oh.
I made a new friend. He had a really nice shotgun.
We towed his car, but I hope we tow his car again so we get to talk to meet him again.
You again. I confess, I left it there on purpose this time. I just missed you.
You catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar.
I don't want to catch flies at all.
Well, if you do, then use honey.
Thank you.
Anyway, in conclusion. I would be a bad police officer because I find it hard to be like hard ass.
I think we'd need more. Honestly, I mean, this is a completely different topic, but I think we would do better with more police officers like you, less hard ass.
Yeah, but I wouldn't really be enforcing the law. I would be recommending the law in a friendly manner.
What is it with by the way, in the UK with the police officers that just have sticks instead of guns?
Well, yeah, most people don't have guns.
Yeah, but like, because
nobody has guns. Nobody needs a gun.
But again, if you're going to enforce, if you're a criminal, right, and like, well, I'm a hard criminal, and that's how they speak, and you're stopped by a police officer who has a stick, And the police officer says, "Hey, you, stop what you're doing, you hardened criminal."
I'm going to
hit you with my stick. And
they'd have tasers as well.
Oh, okay.
So they will have a taser. Have,
okay. Yeah.
But also, they do, if they need armed police,
they'll call them. Don't you go anywhere. I'm going to call the people with guns. And they're going to come in here. And then they're going to tell you to stop.
So rather than having one police officer with a gun who may be in a difficult situation going, I need to make a split second decision on whether to shoot this person or am I in danger.
Tasers make sense. I don't like guns, but tasers seem like a nice in between.
Yeah, tasers are nice.
Tasers.
So what you do is instead then, if they were really worried, they would call on the radio, and within like minutes a van with like eight people with like assault weapons would just roll out.
Jesus.
So if there was a real risk, the police officer wouldn't be expected to like solve the situation with just a stick. They would call backup, and then the backup would turn up. And
I know it's called a baton, but I like calling it a stick.
A stick,
because that's what it is.
No, they call it a truncheon.
A truncheon.
A truncheon.
It's a stick.
Yeah, yeah. It's a heavy stick.
It's
that
a
you
big
don't,
stick.
Trust me, though, if they hit you in the face with it, it'll knock your jaw clean off
if
your face.
If anyone has any kind of martial arts training whatsoever, they could like defend themselves.
They also use dogs
stick.
As well.
Okay,
well,
that's a problem.
And those dogs won't let go until they give them the command.
No, that's fair.
Yeah,
it's different.
But anyway, like,
tangent
that's the
time.
That's the thing in the UK. People don't have guns, so instead they're just brutally violent with their fists. So
no, I think that's much better. Honestly, yeah. I'm hugely anti-gun. Hugely, hugely, hugely anti-gun. And as an aside,
I'm pro-fist.
Just a quick aside, the whole argument, and it's not argument, many, many arguments, because I've watched gun debates. About like, what do you do when the criminal has guns? Blah, 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 blah. Back and forth, talking about these. I've watched the debates on guns and gun control and gun regulation. And it's hilarious because they bring up questions that as if they're thinking of these questions for the first time and as if no one has ever debated these topics ever. And they're doing it for the first time ever. And they just can't come to a conclusion. Who knows, right? When other countries have already asked these questions, they've already had these debates, and they've already implemented them successfully. And all we have to do is like, well, what do you do if this incident happens? Like, that's a great question, John. Let's look to Iceland. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Let's look like 90% of the rest of the world.
Right, yeah. They've already, that's a great, I'm glad you brought up that question, because that question has already been answered and solved.
Yeah, maybe try looking at countries that don't sell bulletproof backpacks for your kids when they go to school. That's that's where I'd start looking for solutions.
Right,
guns.
Yeah. Jesus, yeah.
You know. Anyway, this has been fun.
It has. This has been fun.
I'm gonna go and give my neighbor a Shawinigan handshake. For leaving boxes at the end of my driveway.
Please do.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm too nice. I just scare them with identity theft.
So I'm gonna say call to action is join our Instagram because and only because as of late I've decided to just start randomly going live, like at 2 o'clock in the morning when it's raining and I'm caught under a tree or when I'm running late to the podcast studio and it's a small handful of people find it entertaining. So there you go. If you want to be part of the small handful of entertaining of people being entertained by me running around the city being crazy, join our Instagram.
Yeah, cool.
There you go.
Well, we'll see you soon.
That's
anyway.
How about that? That's the first time I've ever promoted our own Instagram.
Instagram plug. I gotta go home.
Oh yeah, right. You got a life.
Yeah, I gotta go back to my life.
Right.
See you soon, everyone.
Yay! Oh my throat.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.